He must have been a little discombobulated this morning. But I think the Lord has something for us today. Well, I know He has. He has something for us every day. So try not to let our failings get in the way of you and the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to actually look at just verses 5 through 10 as I've shortened up the part that I'm going to do this morning. Chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "It is not to angels that He has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there's a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him? Son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering." Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide as I seek to preach this morning, that you would be lifted up and your people encouraged and blessed. Father, draw us nearer to you, each one, that we might walk closer with you today than we did yesterday. And might we walk closer with you tomorrow than we do today. Now, Lord, guide and direct us. Make our ears open to hear your word, and might our hearts grab onto it and not let go. In Jesus' name, amen. It is not the angels that He subjected the world to come, about whom we are speaking. It's not about the angels. Yet, we see people getting sidetracked with angels all the time in our society, don't we? I've talked a little bit about it before. You know, we've had Angels in the Outfield and Angel this movie and Angel that movie and books, and people talk, "Well, I've got my guardian angel." And you know, we've got a movie that's going to be coming up here. You know, every time there's a new angel in heaven, somebody they ring the bell. You know, kind of. You know. What's the movie? It's A Wonderful Life. That one's been around for a while. It's a good movie. It's a nice movie. Theologically, it's not so great, but, you know. Since when has Hollywood had it right, theologically? Probably shouldn't take our theology from there. But I bet we take it from Scripture. And we're told here that it's not about the angels. Remember, angels are messengers. They're messengers. They're here to serve God. And God uses them in His work with us. But they are indeed servants of God. They are not God, nor are they God's children. They're not identified as such. But Jesus is identified as the Son of God. And also use the phrase the Son of Man. See, Jesus was both God and man. We talked about how there's nothing between God and the angels in the theological hierarchy that the Israelites had. But yet, here we have the Son of God, so He has to be higher than the angels. But what's it about us that God would send His Son to die for us? What is it about us? Genesis. Men's Bible study has been going through Genesis. And in Genesis, we're told that we are made not in the image of angels, not in the image of any other wonderful thing, but we are made in the very image of God. Male and female, we have been made. And we have been made in the image of God. All of us. And God didn't just create us and we were alive, but He breathed His very, very Spirit into us. Wow. I mean, really. Wow. God made us different than He made everybody else. Because His purpose for us is different than the rest of creation. We're here because God wishes to have fellowship with us. Wishes to know us. Wishes to be with us. But we had a problem. Again, back in Genesis, we had this issue with Adam and Eve and doing something that they were told not to. Yeah, kind of got us all in trouble. Everybody. Well, to deal with that sin, there needed to be a sinless sacrifice. So God sent the Son Himself, Son of God. And this is who came. And through whom everything exists should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. It's in verse 10 there. Everything exists through Christ, and it's through His suffering that our salvation is perfected. Wow. This is heavy stuff. This isn't easy. To think that somebody had to die for me because I'm a sinner, kind of makes me, uncomfortable, to say the least. I mean, I don't like the idea of having to have put somebody through that. But yet it was necessary. Because it's not something I could have done on my own. But who is this Jesus? He is indeed the Son of God. It says, and put everything under Him, God left. Nothing that is not subject to Him. Everything is subject to Jesus. But here we look around us and we see, we don't see everybody acting as if they're subject to Him. Say, well, how can that be? Well, there are all sorts of people who are living here in the United States, and they're all subject to our laws. Do all the people follow all the laws all the time? No. A good number of those people get caught and have to pay a penalty for that. We look at life right now and we see, you know, not everybody's being subject to God. But the truth of the matter is that everybody will one day be before that throne of judgment that we see in Revelation. And we've jumped from Genesis to Revelation now. From the very beginning to the very end. And in both places we have Christ. It's through Christ everything was created, and it's through Christ that salvation will take place. When we come to that judgment seat, then He'll say, this one's covered with my blood. This one's sin is forgiven. I like the forgiven part. I do. But it's uncomfortable to think that somebody had to die for me. Now I can ignore that. Or I can embrace the sacrifice that was made. Some of us like to try to take the benefit of the sacrifice without, you know, really looking at the sacrifice. It's kind of like my stepsister. You know, she really likes hamburgers and steak. But, you know, that comes from a butcher, from the grocery store in little packages. Has nothing to do with that nice little cow you got over there. We had a cow at our farm, little calf. She said, what you do? Well, that's going to be dinner one day. And she's like, oh. Yeah, that cow's life is going to be sacrificed for our dinner. Now, a lot of us aren't real comfortable with that whole idea, and we prefer to think, okay, no, it just comes in little packages. It's at the grocery store. It has nothing to do with the cute little cow that goes moo. That somebody named Bessie and put a little ribbon in its hair and go, oh, no, don't talk like that. But we do. We don't want to know about that part. But we do have to know about that part. When it comes to our salvation, we have to recognize that it wasn't cheap. It was costly. It was very expensive. Not in money, but in blood. Pastor, you're being so gross, so crude. I'm sorry. But I'm not. I'm sorry that it bothers you. Because it bothers me too. It's supposed to. It's supposed to. It's supposed to bother us that our Lord and Savior came and died on the cross for us. That He was indeed the author of our salvation. And that our salvation was made perfect through His suffering. He's the only one that could have done it, and He's the one who did it. And it's been done. We need to recognize it and be thankful for it. One of the reasons why we charge fees for some things, I charge a fee for premarital counseling and for PLP, our ministry there, we charge a fee for that, and it's even with the garage sale. We charge a fee for the things that people take. Why? Because we found that if it's free, people don't value it. Salvation needs to be valued. And while it's free in the one sense, it's not free in another. Somebody had to pay for it. That price was very expensive. And we need to be thankful that somebody did that, and that somebody was God. That somebody was Jesus. He was made a little lower than the angels, it says here. What does that mean? It means he came to earth as a little baby and walked this earth and showed us how. Then he went to the cross to provide us the means to follow him. For he is the one through whom everything exists, and he is the one through whom salvation comes. And in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of salvation perfect through suffering. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you provided your salvation for us. That you sent your Son to be born here on this earth to show us how to live and then go to the cross. Lord, might we truly treasure this gift of salvation that you have for us, because we know how deep a price you paid for it. Might we know that it's something that's worthwhile. Might we know that it is the only way to come to you. Now, Lord, help us to see you in a new light. And might we indeed be thankful. Thankful for you, Lord, and your salvation. Thankful for your willingness to pay the price for us. In Jesus' name, amen.